Welcome to Legacy Listening, the podcast where purpose meets practice. I'm Dave McIver, CEO and president of Lamp-Rynearson, and I'm here to share the stories behind the work and the people building our legacy every day. Today's episode is a celebration of vision, collaboration, and the kind of intentional development that doesn't just shape a project, but shapes a career. It's a story about how young professionals can bring bold ideas to life, how mentorship unlocks opportunity, and how legacy is built one intentional decision at a time. And to tell that story, I'm joined by Senior Project Engineer Grant Siebold, a leader, a connector, and someone who's proving every day that legacy begins early in your career. Grant, welcome to Legacy Listening.
Thank you, Dave. It's an honor to be here. I've been listening to the podcast since it started. I'm excited to be in the Omaha office.
Fantastic. We're definitely glad to have you with us today. So let's start at the beginning, shall we? A lot of young professionals in engineering focus heavily on their technical work, and for good reason. You're cutting your teeth and learning new skills, putting those skills that you've learned in classes into practice. But you made a conscious decision to get involved in professional organizations early on. So what made you step out of just the day-to-day project work? Were there specific moments or experiences that really pushed you to think bigger about your career?
So the first opportunity that I had was kind of given to me. It wasn't something that I sought myself. So I had the opportunity to attend the Kansas Water Conference due to a higher ranking person in our office being unable to attend. So I heard that there was a free breakfast for young professionals. And as someone who never turns down that opportunity, I was able to register last minute and go to the conference and that breakfast. So the conference was one of the first on the back end of the pandemic. So the Young Professionals Committee was in a bit of a rough state. So aside from the chair and the vice chair of the committee, I was the only other person under 30 in the room. So by the end of that breakfast, I was asked if I wanted to join and was offered the vice chair position for the upcoming year. I was a little bit hesitant at first, as it sounded like a lot of extra work, and I was a young and busy project engineer, and selfishly was also looking to maximize my leisure time at the end of the workday. So I did accept the offer, and it sort of spiraled from there. I loved the outreach to other local young professionals in our office in the greater Kansas City area, and when our committee chair was unable to represent Kansas at the Young Professional Summit later that year, I was offered that spot instead. So the mix of a professional organization paying for my conference attendance and travel and Lamp-Rynearson sponsoring my time out of the office, I eagerly accepted. And that's kind of where it truly kicked off for me.
That's great. I think it also stands out to me that you said yes to an opportunity. It was presented to you because of some outside circumstances, but still, as a young professional, you said, yes, I'll try something new. And I think that speaks volumes for not just our staff, but just in general across the board when we're mentoring someone who's new in their career, or even when we're working with students in some of the organizations that we get connected with. It's important to encourage people being willing to say yes, because it broadens your career horizons, it broadens your opportunities, it also broadens your experiences in terms of involvement, but also leadership opportunity. I mean, you stepped into a vice president role somewhat unexpectedly, right? So when we say yes, we get exposed to so many other things that can benefit us personally as well as professionally. So kudos to you. Several years ago, you represented young professionals at the WEF-AWWA-YP Summit in Sacramento. I'm going to ask you to explain all of those acronyms here in a second. Now, that trip wasn't just about attending a conference. It was about seeing the bigger picture of our industry, right? From touring a $1.7 billion facility, which is huge in my mind, to engaging in leadership and mentorship workshops, you had quite a bit of exposure to some pretty transformative experiences. When you look back on that now, what were the moments that really stayed with you? How did those moments shift your perspective? Maybe not just about engineering, but about your role as a young leader in the profession.
Right. So I'll backtrack and answer your question about the acronyms very quick. Our industry is known for not having a shortage of those.
Indeed.
But WEF, WEF, is the Water Environment Federation. AWWA is the American Water Works Association. So those two kind of work in tandem with each other. One focuses more on water, one focuses more on wastewater, and they each have their own member association at the state level. So that trip in Sacramento was where it really kind of clicked for me. The first day of that conference was an early career professional development workshop. So like many other young professionals, I had many doubts about my role in the office and the industry at that point in my career. Imposter syndrome is a phrase that gets tossed around a lot at these events. And this is the first time where I was surrounded by so many peers outside of my own office. So everyone was so competent, ambitious, personable, and representing their own respective state or regional association of young professionals. At first, I was pretty overwhelmed by the amount of early success stories, but as the day went on, I realized that I had many of the same questions and concerns as them. Being just a few years into my career, I could give advice to those fresh out of school, and on the flip side, I could learn from those who had already achieved goals that I was reaching towards. And that's, like I said, where I felt that switch flip. Here was this vast new network where I could meet people with similar goals to myself, both learn and teach from those in similar positions, and all of those removed from my daily office life. I felt there was so much that I could bring back, both technical and personal, in my own development, back to our own office and our local member associations. So after I had left Sacramento, I was feeling so inspired and just looking for further involvement in order to tap into this vast new network that I had just had access to.
That's pretty amazing. Anecdotally, in a much smaller sense, I can remember early in my career, I think I might have still been an intern in my last year in college, but I was working for LAMP at the time. I can remember sitting in a conference room on a construction site and looking around the room thinking, I'm surrounded by people with vast amounts of knowledge and experience, and I just don't feel like I measure up. And in a similar way, you have this recognition, this dawning of, I belong here, but I can learn so much by observing and engaging, and then I can translate that down to the younger staff or those that are just coming out of school and just continue to soak it up and use it as opportunities to grow. That still carries with me today. I very distinctly remember that day in that conference room on a construction site like it was yesterday, and they do. They stick with you. So I appreciate your recognition of that switch being flipped, right? Because that's how we get to where we are now. Grant, you've been a strong advocate for mentorship, and I know that's a theme you've carried with you. So I want to dig into that a little bit. For you personally, what difference did mentorship make early in your career?
Mentorship was very important to me early in my career. One of the first things I noticed when I started with LAMP Ryan-Earson was the very clear leadership structure that we had. We were mostly virtual when I started. I started in March of 2020, right when everything really shut down. And our PMs in Kansas were very patient and accommodating with me, learning how our operation worked. I was brand new to the industry, so there was a lot of screen sharing, shadowing, a bit of, you have all the tools you need, go figure it out. So one of the more important points here is having a variety of mentors to experience different leadership styles. You kind of have to have those, a little bit of hand-holding, a little bit of just watch and learn, and then sometimes just, you have to do this yourself. I've given you what you need.
Well, so let's talk about the flip side of that, right? Because there's being mentored, and then there's being a mentor. So even when you're still a young professional, what does it look like to be a mentor? How do you balance being in a stage where you're still learning, but you're turning around and investing in the people that are now coming to you for advice or leadership or experience?
So this is where I've started to become a bit more passionate, is being a mentor along with learning myself. So you hear a lot from former athletes that they learned more as a coach than when they were competing. And that's an idea that I can get behind. It's only when you sit down to start putting slides together on a topic that you start thinking, what do I actually know about this? I also live by the idea of the grandma test. No offense to any grandmothers out there, but the idea is that if you can't explain a concept so that your grandma, now with the caveat that they don't have experience in that area, if you can't explain it to your grandma, then you don't know it. It's also extremely rewarding to play any part in someone's growth and success. A direct report that you are mentoring could eventually become a peer or become your boss or a future client. So I firmly believe that there's only positives that can come from helping people reach their potential.
That's amazing. And I will carry the explain it to your grandma thought with me for a while with a wife who teaches preschoolers. To me, it's always been if I can explain it to a five-year-old. I actually think I like it better as if I can explain it to someone who's got a ton of experience, but not in this industry. So that's fun. I like it. So Grant, you've led the Young Professionals Committee at KWEA and setting some ambitious goals, like launching student competitions and building stronger connections with other state chapters. And that's not a small thing. Those are ambitious goals to set. It takes time and commitment and the belief that investing in young professionals today will pay dividends for the industry tomorrow. What I find inspiring is that you're taking what you've already learned from your own journey and you're turning it outward. You're turning it to those that can benefit from a similar path. You're creating opportunities for students to get hands-on experience, and you're building bridges with peers in other states so that collectively everyone can grow stronger together. I think there's a lesson there that when we all grow together, we all succeed more. And so that's just a great picture that you are living out. So I'd really love to hear from you what this role has taught you about leadership at this stage in your career and why these kinds of initiatives matter so much for the next generation of engineers.
Right. So first, to your point, I love the phrase, a rising tide lifts all boats. The idea that my neighbor having success equals more success for me. I live by that principle. So to your question, I think the first takeaway that I have is the next generation is going to be a lot smarter than us. Even at these poster competitions, the titles make me feel like I need to go back to school. But really, I think the main thing that I've learned is the next generation sometimes just needs that first opportunity to get their foot in the door. The student design competition or a complimentary ticket to a conference for a student chapter is what's going to make that first connection that allows them to grow professionally and potentially stay in our industry. So I myself had a really hard time finding my first opportunity out of college. I submitted hundreds of applications, just shotgunning those all over the place. And as someone who competed in athletics and didn't have as much of a focus on internships and attending a conference as a young professional, something like that would have given me much needed insight on getting into the industry and learning about the different components of it.
Yeah, boy, there's so much truth in that. When there's opportunity and students can capitalize on it and see where their future can be, it just opens up a world of possibilities. And I think it's also a great way for us within the industry to say, look, this is the next generation of leaders. This is the next generation of technical experts, and we really need to take the time to invest in them and see them bloom and grow. So with that in mind, why do you see organizations like KWEA as such an important launchpad for young professionals? What is it that organizations like that offer that you can't always get just by staying within the walls of one company?
So like I mentioned earlier, a young professional organization allows you to kind of jumpstart your professional network, get your foot in the door. So it starts with your first happy hour event where maybe you meet a few other YPs at a local firm and ask them what their role is like. Maybe you discover that you need some change to make your next step professionally, or maybe you learn that you actually have it really good where you're at. On top of that, the YP committees are your foot in the door to more involvement in professional organizations. So as my time as a YP comes to an end, I'm now next in line as collections committee chair for KWEA. So I'm kind of that success story of leveraging young professional involvement to now leading a technical community where those connections are even more valuable from a business perspective. So I'm learning more every day and making connections that are helping us on current projects and others that could lead to future work. One last point I'll make on that question is involvement like this gives you a chance to be in a room or at a table with someone you might not normally have access to. Taking a ticket from a sick coworker to an engineer's luncheon might have you sitting at a table with a VP of a contractor we work with or a director of public utilities whose calendar normally doesn't have more than a 30-minute gap open for the next few months.
So you know our purpose of leaving a legacy here at Lamprey Nearson. We talk about it often. We focus on it. It's the driver of the vast majority of our decisions, in particular at a strategic level. That's what we're really focused on, is leaving that legacy of enduring improvements so that across our communities, there's a sense of connection and understanding of the work that we do and the impact we have in our communities. But it means something a little different to each person, depending on where they are in their career. So when you think about that for yourself, what does building a legacy look like right now?
I've always loved our tagline because it creates such a good mindset on both the short and the long-term outlook. So at this point in my career, I think leaving a legacy involves a mix of saying yes to opportunities and following through on the opportunities that I've already committed to. So I've learned that the impact that I can make in my current roles and responsibilities has far-reaching effects down the line. So I'll give you an example of that. Those in our Kansas City office will know me as our water tower guy. There were not many people lining up to take over water inspections. There were not many people lining up to take over water tower inspections from Chad, our water practice lead, as he was making a bigger career step. So I said yes to that opportunity and have been doing those for a few years now. So now as I start to dip my toes into more project management responsibilities, working on or marketing towards new projects, the operators at those water treatment plants that I've worked with now recognize my name and hopefully remember some positive experiences working with me out at their water towers. So I guess that was a long-winded way to say that following through and putting out your best work is how you can leave a legacy, as you'll never know when that positive impact you made today will come back to help you in the future.
Well said. To me, it's a mix of the work that we do, right, and the impact that we have on our clients, but then also the way in which we engage with and lead direct reports, young and upcoming professionals, and in the way we interact with those that we report to and our leaders, and being able to maintain those relationships. It just winds up kind of permeating what we do and very much becomes a culture piece. So I appreciate the way you spoke into that, Grant. Thank you.
Just to the point of leaving a legacy, it's amazing. Just on a like nationwide scale, we are not a huge company, but it is amazing to go to a national level conference and have a Lamprey Nearson tag and just be walking down the hall and someone say, "Oh, you work for Lamprey Nearson? Do you know this and this?" Like we're clearly leaving a legacy. Our people are known.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for that too, because I think sometimes that can get lost in the shuffle. Am I really having an impact? The answer is yes, you are. Every time you're having an impact, people are noticing the work that we do and the way we do it. And the effects that that work is having on communities, and it permeates back through. So obviously we've talked a lot about mentorship and professional development outside of project work, but I want to bring it back to the core of what we do every day, to engineering. You've had the chance to work on some meaningful projects here at Lamprey Nearson. What have been some of the biggest lessons you've learned from the work itself, whether it's a technical challenge, team collaboration, or seeing that impact that a project has had in a community?
Well, our industry, especially on the water side, is constantly changing and experiencing new challenges, whether it's new water quality limits, treatment technology, regulatory hurdles, funding. There's always something new to learn. I think the biggest lesson I've learned is to not get discouraged. There have been a few times where I've felt so frustrated trying to figure out a set of data or get an Excel formula to work or track down that one work order that made our pay app off by $1.37, which, as you know, is completely unacceptable to any regulatory agency. But what I've learned is my experience is only my own, and at the end of the day, a supervisor or a client will often only see the end product. They have not experienced the same frustrations that I have throughout the course of that. So I had a very recent experience where a bit of a headache project wrapped up and I was just dreading the wrap up. I had been frustrated the entire time, just scratching my head on some things, but the end result was still okay. I just had a I was looking back on it with a bit of a negative mindset, but our client was thrilled. And at the end of the day, was talking about future projects and what we were looking towards next. So I have kind of learned to shift my own mindset to not only think about my experience, but to think about it from other people's perspective. So my headache ended up being a very strong net positive for someone else. And that was their experience, and they're looking forward to more of those.
That's amazing. I think so often we have a tendency to put up our own perceived barriers, and we project those onto other people. And if we can take that perspective of looking at it from somebody else's point of view, and get the feedback that says, no, this was great, let's do another one, it just cements in us that A, we do good work, B, I'm capable of doing this, and C, all of these things that I was churning over inside are just distractions. If we can focus on the goal of client service and that community impact, then these other things fall away and we wind up with a great project, great impact on clients and communities, and a chance to do more. Okay, so we're going to switch gears just a little bit. So I want to shift into a part of your story that is outside of the engineering plans and project schedules, but still incredibly telling about who you are as a leader. Because of your passion and effort, our Kansas City office has really leaned into this KC Corporate Challenge. And this year, you were honored with the Alex George Award. Congratulations, by the way. Now, this is a really big deal, because out of thousands of athletes from over 150 companies, the Kansas City Corporate Challenge Board of Directors selects just one male and one female each year to receive this award, honoring someone who goes above and beyond for their team and for the challenge overall. The criteria include athletic ability, overcoming obstacles, dedication to promoting the event, selflessness, and sportsmanship. You were nominated by your teammates and your group leader, Melanie Gillette, and the story she shared about your injury, your perseverance, and the way you rallied people together is really something. You didn't just compete, Grant. You coordinated three different companies into one team. You motivated first-time participants. And even with a torn ACL, you kept showing up to race, to cheer, and to support. That's a huge accomplishment, and it's also an incredible testament to your character. So what did receiving the Alex George Award mean to you personally? And looking back, what do you take away from that experience about leadership, teamwork, and resilience?
Well, thank you. Receiving the Alex George Award was an incredible honor, and to me, it was validation of all of the effort that our Kansas City office has put in towards Corporate Challenge. So Corporate Challenge started as a bit of a selfish endeavor of mine. I have a few teammates from my time as a track athlete in Nebraska who now work in the Kansas City area. And I saw them competing at Corporate Challenge and thought, I still got it. So I was pushing our company to join, and being on the smaller side to some of these very large corporations, we had to pair up with at least one other team to do so. And the last 2 years, we've had minimal participation, mostly me just trying out a bunch of different events. And this year, we really started to lean in heavily. And at the first event, flag football, one of the first plays of the game, my cleat gets stuck in the turf, and I heard the pop and knew something was very wrong with the knee. Oh, so I thought the whole experience was over there. I thought this was the end of Corporate Challenge for me and for our office. And I kind of went into a bit of a sulk for the next week. But then I saw the bike race results and I saw how many people we had participate. And I started to think, wow, our team's really getting after it. And so it was kind of a bit of motivation for me to just start my recovery process and then really have a lot more faith in our office and our teammates that they can still do this. This is not just about me. This is not my selfish trying to cling on to any lingering athleticism from college. And I just kind of rallied behind that. And through that, I think I learned there's a lot that you can do on a torn ACL. I am not recommending anyone to do what I did. but I learned a lot in how you can push your limits, and it was kind of a new challenge for me. Instead of setting my own personal expectations as an athlete, how can I bring more people in to be a part of this? How can they experience the same thing that I did? And our team kept pushing. I got a lot of experience writing motivational emails to have people fill in all those different events, fill in all those age brackets. And our team came away with a third place finish in our division, which was a huge jump up from, I think, 10th last year in an even smaller division. So that just tells you that we've got a lot of potential.
That's awesome. It speaks to perseverance. It speaks to commitment and learning along the way that we don't have to do it all, right? We need a team. I think that describes the learning that I've had at Lampre-Nielsen. I can't do it all. Grant, you can't do it all. We need each other in order to be successful. And whether it's in an athletic endeavor, like the corporate challenge, or in our business lives, there's so many lessons there about the value of teamwork and commitment and doing these things together. And so I appreciate your willingness to learn that process and then apply it to the challenge, but also then how you've been able to incorporate that learning, that leadership opportunity, the motivational emails. How do we rally people together? Those are skills that you'll be able to capitalize on for a long time going forward. So I appreciate you being willing to do that. Well, to be totally honest, we are at the end of our time limit for today. So Grant, thank you very much for sharing your story, for the work you're doing, and not just here at Lampre-Nielsen, but across the engineering community, and really across the communities that we get to impact with the projects that we work on and the interactions that we have across the architectural engineering construction community at large. Your commitment to professional growth, to mentorship, and to leadership is exactly the kind of momentum that keeps our purpose alive. To our listeners, legacy is built one intentional choice at a time, through the projects we shape, the communities we serve, and the people we invest in along the way. I'm Dave McIver, and this has been Legacy Listening. Until next time, let's keep building legacy for all.